Welcome to the Venn Solutions Performance Management Roundtable. Today we're going to have a discussion about some of the most important reports and key performance indicators in Venn Solutions CRM. And we're going to have a discussion that reflects some of the different ways that we see our dealers using these reports in the field. With me today are our panelists, Angie Miletich, Mario Scampoli, and Kevin Schmidt. And I'll be your moderator today, Andrew Saluk. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So let's get started with contact info capture. And Kevin, I've heard you talk a lot about the importance of consistent and diligent data capture. So can you explain to us and help set the stage, why is this so important for dealers to get right?
One of the things that I see in the field with managers is you ask them what their goals are, and they always say the same thing. I want to sell more cars and I want to make more money. And I always like to go backwards. So in order to get to sell that car, what do you have to do? You have to communicate with them first. You know, in order to communicate with them, you need an initial message that's going to grab their attention. But you can't grab their attention unless you have the right information. I mean, that's like the key part. If we're not opting people in at a right amount, well, we can't text them. You know, texting is the way most people communicate nowadays, and dealers have seen huge success with communication. Mm. But if you don't opt them in, you can't utilize that avenue. You're not collecting their address, their phone number, their email address, or even the right email address. It puts the dealership at an immediate loss.
That's a really good point. And when we think about that loss, Angie or Mario, I'm just wondering, what are the concrete impacts to dealerships if they don't have that information for all of those customers?
Well, there's initial impact and there's long-term implications of it as well. You know, they are going to not, if we don't have the email address, if we don't have the customer opted in for texting, then the events within the processes don't trigger. So you might only have, you know, maybe on day three, it's an email follow-up. Well, if you don't have an email, that event doesn't trigger and we don't even follow up on that day. So maybe it might be two more days before another event fires. So it's going to delay and take away the processes and tasks that the dealer is expecting a certain amount of, you know, effort to be put into each of those opportunities. Additionally, if we don't get an email address, you know, we forfeit the ability to ever campaign or market to those customers in the long term. And if the store has Automotive Intelligence or AMP, the automotive marketing platform, you know, every email we don't have literally costs them money. Yeah. And speaking of money, I mean, there are real dollar values for each of these opportunities, right? If we take our advertising budget for the dealership, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month, if we don't get their information, email, if we don't put them in the CRM,
yeah,
if we don't get an email address,
oh yeah, I know where you're going.
We have to buy that opportunity again
yeah,
in 2 or 3 years. Versus if we have the information,
bleeding cash.
Now we can campaign to them and market to them and keep our name in front of them. And hopefully if we're not able to sell them a car today, maybe they'll come in for service and maybe service can help us sell a car in, you know, in a couple of years. You know, we're not able to pick all that identification and see what they're doing on Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, dealer.com websites. So it has some real dollars and cents to it.
That's an excellent point. And so Angie, as we look at this report, there's a lot of different data on the screen. And I'm wondering, what kind of benchmarks are you looking for when you review this with dealers? And maybe what are some of the red flags you see?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we're taking a look at email benchmarks, we really want to see, there are differing viewpoints, but for me, I want to see 90% or above. I want to know that you are getting that customer contact information every time to be able to communicate with them. When it comes to phone and physical address, I would agree. I think 90% is a really great metric to look at. And I think there are going to be some differing viewpoints on the text numbers, depending on how you handle some of those. Do you manually opt in your customer, or are we waiting for that opt-in communication to come back?
That's a really interesting point, too. So I'm wondering, maybe Kevin, could you kind of talk the audience through the manual opt-in versus automatic opt-in, or what are the pros and cons of the different approaches?
There are some dealerships that strictly have their leads come from a third party that opts them in. I have a lot of dealerships as well that will not allow manual opt-in. So it really depends on not only your state, but also depends on what the dealership feels comfortable with. One of the most important things that I feel about that opt-in, the opt-in number, is the like Mario was saying, the process needs to be firing properly.
It depends on how they have their CRM set up, right? So if they're using, if they're expecting the salespeople to send an opt-in message, then I would be focusing on opt-in request percentage, right? And have an expectation that we need to be trying 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to get opt-in up to 90%,
sure.
But if we're not trying 100% of the time, we're never going to be there. So until that opt-in request percentage is there, we can't really talk about the results of it. Once we're trying all the time and the opt-in message isn't to benchmark, then we need to have conversations mm-hmm. on when are we sending that opt-in. Right. If it's an uncontacted internet lead, we need to send it initially. But if it's we can't send it again after that. But if it's a phone lead or a walk-in lead, we need to be sending those opt-in messages while we're in control of the conversation. Mm. Right. If I have the customer on the phone, hey, you call me from your cell phone. Okay, great. I'm going to send you an opt-in so I can send you, so I can text you some additional pictures and videos or information on that car before I hang up. Right. And we verify that they got it and they send it back. Because if we send that opt-in 2 minutes later or the next day, we're not going to have the same type of results that we would if we were in control. And same with walk-in. We got to do it when they're sitting across the desk from us. Do you have your cell phone? Is it cool if I text you? Okay, great. I'm going to send you an opt-in message. Bing. Okay, and we look at them awkwardly until they pull out their phone and send back yes. Because if we wait until they're out of the ether and we've already, we didn't meet their number or we didn't give them enough for their trade, what other chances are going to opt in then? Probably a lot lower.
You mentioned something that I just want to point out with the opting in. When you're opting in or you're submitting a lead to a third party most likely is going to ask in the fine print in the private policy agreement to a third party is going to be reaching out to you, calling you, emailing and texting you. Mm-hmm. Something I do want to shed light to every dealership is that if the employee is using their personal cell phone, they are not the third party. They are the fourth party and it puts them at risk of lawsuits.
Mm. Or the dealership.
And the dealership. Yeah. So, we hear dealerships all over the country saying, how come your text performance isn't where it needs to be? And they'll say, they're using their phones. Well, that is a complete federal violation. I mean, that is something that a dealership needs to grab onto. I mean, I've had a lot of dealerships personally myself have gone through lawsuits because of that reason.
I think you're talking about the CAN Spam Act there. And then there's some privacy laws that different states have.
Huge privacy laws with texting, especially sales to consumer.
And it makes it really difficult to report and monitor follow-up. If the salesperson is following up outside of the CRM, what's the point of the CRM, right? The whole point of it is to manage opportunities and create additional opportunities. If we can't tell when the salespeople are following up with the customers, it makes it really difficult for us to manage those opportunities. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, God forbid they decide to go sell a car down the road at XYZ Motors, they have their entire book of business in their pocket. That's actually your book of business, but you've allowed them to conduct their business with their personal phone. So they can dial for dollars, and we all know they do. So they can use their personal phones. They just have to use the mobile app.
Just a good way to mitigate that, you can assign each of your sales reps, your managers, their own number within the system. And that way, there's no reason that they have to use their personal phones to text anybody.
Yeah.
Your store, if you have SMS, MMS, whatever it is, you have one number. But there are abilities to assign one to each person to make sure that we're able to essentially track everything that they're doing. But also, that's the phone number that goes in their signature.
On their business cards, on their
business
website.
Cards, yeah. Assign their own personal text number and put on their business cards, their contact info signatures. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing, Ange. That's something I learned recently from you. That's great.
Yeah. So I assume a dealer would say, hey, you got to use the app to text customers. Are there any good ways that a manager or a principal could check on the compliance with that policy or make sure that the salespeople are doing what they're supposed to be doing there?
I think you can look at things like activity breakdown or anything like that to make sure that they're utilizing it. This is a report, that you can absolutely take a look at. I would think, I don't know how you feel about this, but somewhere between text opt-in and license scanning, if you're using the app, you're going to get both out of it.
Of course.
So.
And even like this contact info capture report, it's one of those reports very similar to a report we're going to talk about later on is the enterprise performance report where you can kind of customize it per dealer, per lead type, per user. And what a lot of dealerships really, they don't see because they're so busy selling cars and trying to focus in on everything that goes on in the dealership, that if their percentage or their conversion rate of opting in a customer is down, or license scanning is down, or email capture is down, is it really the whole store, or could it be one or two people that are holding you back? And these reports expand on that opportunity to coach a person.
You know, and the contact info capture, as you can see here, can be summarized by user or by user group or even on a whole dealer level. So it allows you to see those different scopes of the data to hone in and figure out, you know, who are your culprits. You know, maybe you have a below benchmark, you know, opt-in message, but it could just be one dude at 0%, out of sight, out of mind, all those sayings we say. But like, this report can be, you know, built for the dealer. You know, performance manager can help you do that, and we can set it to be automatically emailed. I think that it's one of the more important pieces of data to keep an eye on consistently. A lot of the dealers I work with have this coming every Monday morning, so that they can review it as the month goes on, and then it comes to them last month's data, the third of every month, so that they can review the totality of the previous month and see where we ended up, set the goal, measure, and achieve. Mm. Or if not, reset the goal and at least move the needle in the right direction.
Good point.
And let's be honest, as important as this report is, data, looking at contact info capture like this is the least sexy thing. Nobody wants to look at it. Nobody really wants to acknowledge it, but it's there and it serves a purpose and it's something that we should be looking at.
So when we as performance managers discuss to a dealer about you need to get the data, that is the, like Angie said, that's the less sexy thing to talk about is data, but that's the catalyst for getting in contact with them, beginning the communication, setting the appointment, getting them to the showroom.
That's an outstanding point. And I think Angie referred to the ideal benchmark. I think you might have said north of 80 or north of 90%.
Yep.
I'm just kind of curious, what do you actually, is that realistic for what you see in the field? Or what would you, do you have any sense of what the average dealer is actually pulling here?
We can talk about that for a long time.
Depends on what the store's pay plan is.
Right. Yep, it depends what they need to move forward with the deal. Looking at this particular report, you see a lot of hundreds in there. Are you really getting 100% of those email addresses or those phone numbers? Or do you need it to proceed in with a showroom visit or adding a customer in? There are some lockdowns for that. So I've noticed recently, especially with Common Consumer, I don't know if that's what we're calling
it now. Connected Customer.
Connected Customer, thank you. With Connected Customer, there's a lot of the none at none.com or none at AOL.com or I'm not giving you an address at gmail.com.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yep, and we're having to go through and purge all of those from the system. Or we need a phone number, so we're putting in the work number. Mm. It all depends on the pay plan and the easiest way the salesperson can move forward with a deal.
Angie, I'm wondering how you feel about this. Is it fair to say that dealerships that have lower percentages of contact information capture are selling fewer cars every month, in your experience?
The answer is yes, but I do think that it depends on the market that they're in. Mm,
of course.
But 100% yes. If you can't communicate with your customers, how are you going to sell them a car?
Good point.
It's pretty black and white in that respect.
I would follow that up with, I don't know if I can show a direct correlation with this dealership sells more cars because they have a higher, info capture, but I can promise you this, if the dealer has more emails and more texting opt-in and they log more productivity and they're able to get in contact with more customers, they will sell more cars than they did previously.
Absolutely.
It's that simple. Yeah. It's the math and science of the car business, right?
Yeah.
Productivity equals contact equals appointments equals car deals. It's really that simple.
Right.
And if you don't have an email address and you don't have them opted in for texting, then we are fighting with one hand tied behind our back.
Mm-hmm. Can you set an appointment with someone you can't connect with?
No.
No.
And I have dealers that I don't really care about email addresses. Okay, that's cool. I get it. Texting is by far more effective. 100%. Right. I'll agree with that 100%. But what happens when texting goes cold? Right. There are things that we can do with emails that we can't do with text messages.
Sure.
You know, with texting, you can send pictures, you can send videos, but you can't insert a VIN brochure. You can't do a, you know, similar vehicles of interest or, you know, that type of stuff. So email is can be effective for those situations. But also, getting an email address is the easiest way to get, for a salesperson, to get the CRM to work for them instead of them working for the CRM, right? You know, appointment reminder confirmations or automated text messages as well. If the customer's opted in,
if they're opted in,
then we can send out automated texts, automated emails for appointment reminders. You know, if we're reminding the customer, it's more likely they're going to show up and show up on time. Missed appointment follow-up, lost follow-up, sold follow-up. You know, if we don't have an email address, the system can't help us.
For those that really don't, I don't want to say care, but you know, there's a lot of dealerships out there that really don't pay attention to what they bought.
Mm-hmm.
You bought a Cox Automotive product, and we have something nobody else has. We have a platform of inventory called Auto Trader. Okay, we have a platform called Kelley Blue Book. And without emails, it really hinders. And I know Mario knows way more about it, and I'm going to let him speak in just a minute because I really want to get his vantage point on how that really hinders not only the future of the communication, but the opportunities that we're missing by not collecting the right email addresses.
Yeah, I alluded to it previously. You know, it's that pixel identification, which is kind of like an advanced cookie that would mm-hmm. be saved onto that client's computer. And the easiest way for us to correlate that customer with their online shopping behavior is for them to engage with the dealership electronically. And so that's via clicking on something in an email or clicking on something via text. So when we don't get that done in the system, then we're not able to get that data, which then doesn't allow us to see when, you know, 2 years from now when they go on Auto Trader, when they come back into the market to buy a car right. for their daughter, well, they're looking at a Honda, you sell Chevys, they don't think to contact their Chevy guy. System alerts you that, hey, Johnny, who you sold the car to a couple years ago, is online shopping for a Civic. We coincidentally follow up and, you know, hey, you know, just checking to see how that Sierra is treating you, yada, yada. Oh, actually, I'm shopping for a Civic for my daughter. Do you have anything like that on the lot? And now we're having a conversation where you're literally stealing business from the dealership down the road that doesn't have Cox Automotive Intelligence.
Exactly.
Or AMP that can take that data and work it for you, 100%. Engage the customer. But guess what? It can't engage the customer for you if you don't have an email address.
And it doesn't work with none@none.com either.
And let me tell you how hard it is to get an email address when we're adding a customer. All we do is just say, "And what's your best email?"
And ask you that at the grocery store.
And we just wait, and it creates this awkward silence where most people are going to give you an email address. And we just have to ask. If we just ask 100% of the time, I've seen, you know, email capture go from 20-ish percent to 60% literally overnight, you know, within, you know, a week of us measuring that data. It's that 80, 90% is like, we got to ask 100% of the time, we have to do it correctly, and also we have to be prepared to overcome any possible objection somebody might bring up as far as why they don't want to give it to us, which is usually pretty
rare,
you know. I mean, I've equated it like this. If you don't have enough rapport with your client to get them to give you an email address or text or opt in for texting, what's the chance you're going to sell them a $50,000 car? It's probably about 0%. That would indicate to me that I need a TO.
It's mind-blowing to me when we take a look at a report like this or we look at showroom visits. And those are people that are here, right? Like, they're physically here. And we don't have a phone number. And we don't have an email address. I mean, forget about being opted in, because we don't even have that phone number to opt anyone in. there is no vehicle of interest, right? And we keep having these accountability conversations and saying, okay, even if it's just with the people that are here, make sure there's a showroom visit started. Make sure we have a phone number. Make sure we have an email address. Make sure we've opted them in for texting.
Right.
You know? And then you come back a few weeks later, and it's still not done. To me, it's just the easiest way to say, okay, this person's physically here. I want to be able to communicate with them, whether I sell them a car or I need to follow up and give them back
right.
in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys see that all the time, but
I do. I, I also believe that when you're a manager, I think a lot of people really don't understand the amount of work you have to do. And there's a lot of downtime, there really is. And my mentor always taught me one thing that has stayed with me today, is that if you're, you can work in your business all day long, but if you're not working on your business, you'll never grow. And this is the perfect place to start. If you're a manager that's listening to this and you're just sitting there and you feel like every single day is the same, there's not enough time in the day and you really can't move the store in the right direction, start here. One quick example. I have this one dealer group that's really good at doing one-on-ones when it comes to like capturing info. And I even did it on the way here. I stopped at one of my dealerships and I talked to one of the sales team and I said, listen, I think I found a way to help you sell more cars. No, anyone's going to be receptive to that. Like, I want to sell more cars. Okay, great. And it starts here, right? Like, you're doing a really good job here, here, and here, but you're not capturing all the correct information. So you're doing a great job here, but right now you can't communicate with everybody. Now, if you communicated with more people, what do you think would happen to your appointments?
Increase.
Or not your appointments, but your communication. Mm-hmm. And then your communication, what would happen to your appointments? It possibly could go up. So, I mean, any manager that's sitting here really struggling, not knowing exactly where to start. Start with the contact info capture report. It will really change the momentum of your floor.
I think that's an excellent point, and I think we've covered a lot of other great points on this foundational report here. Any other closing remarks on why dealers should use this or what they should get out of it?
I would just say that activity leads to engagement and engagement leads to a sale. It's a chain reaction, and you can't get from point A to point C without having some data to support it and figuring out ways to get there.
There's also a couple things that potentially dealers can do within the CRM to help increase these numbers. One is we can add a step to the road to the sale process, where when they close their showroom visit, they've got to check the box, email capture, text opt-in. That way it's always going to keep it on the forefront of the manager's mind that, hey, that's something that we need to do for every showroom visit. And the other is we can add an event into the phone process and the walk-in process where it prompts the customer, the salesperson, did you add the vehicle of interest? Did you text the customer, opt the customer for texting? Did you get an email address? And so hopefully, and that fires as soon as we close the showroom visit. So if the manager is on point and they've done their process, they end the showroom visit, that's gonna task the salesperson immediately. It's a lot more likely that, if Kevin just left the dealership and he sees that I'm calling him, minutes after he leaves, it's more likely he's probably going to answer the phone because maybe I'm going to give him what he wanted for his trade. Or, it's going to be a lot more likely that I'm going to make contact with him than it is if I call him tomorrow. So if I forgot to get his email address and I call him right away, say, hey, I just want to thank you for coming in. Sorry to bother you so quickly, but I noticed that I neglected to get an email address for you, and I'd like to send you some additional information. What's the best address?
Right.
Keeping that in the forefront and engaging those customers that way can be helpful.
Well, good point. I appreciate you three sharing your insights on this important report, and we hope this is valuable to the audience as well, and we encourage you to watch the rest of our segments too.